भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम थर्ड कैंटो चैप्टर 15 Description of the kingdom of God, text 9. Sa tvam vidhatsva sham bhumam tamasha lupta karmana adabhra dayaya drishtva Apanyan. Arhashikshitam. Satam vidhatsa shambhumam. Tamasa dukta karmanam. Adabhra dayaya drishta. Apannan arhasikshitum Svatam vidhatsva shambhumam Tamasa lupta karmana Adabhra dayaya drishta Apannan arhasikshitum Svatvam vidhatsva svam bhumam Tamasa lupta karmanam Adabhra dayaya drishta Apannan arhasikshitum Sa, he, tvam, you, vidhatsva, perform, sham, good fortune, bhuman, O great Lord, tamasa, by the darkness, lupta, have been suspended, karmanam, of prescribed duties, adabhra, magnanimous, without reservation, Dayaya, mercy, drishtva, by your glance, apannan, us the surrendered, arhasi, are able, ikshitum, to see. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The demigods prayed to Brahma, please look upon us mercifully, for we have fallen into a miserable condition. Because of the darkness, all our work has been suspended. Please repeat. The demigods prayed to Brahma. Please look upon us mercifully. For we have fallen into a miserable condition. Because of the darkness, all our work has been suspended. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Because of complete darkness throughout the universe, the regular activities and engagements of all the different planets were suspended. In the north and south poles of this planet, there are sometimes no divisions of day and night. Similarly, when the sunlight does not approach the different planets within the universe, there is no distinction between day and night. Satang vidhatsa sham bhumans tamasa lupta karmanam adabhra dayaya drishta apannan arhasikshitum. The demigods prayed to Brahma, please look upon us mercifully, for we have fallen into a miserable condition. Because of the darkness, all our work has been suspended. So it's a prelude to the birth of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, the two very, very powerful demons. The cause of their inauspicious birth is that their parents united at an inauspicious time. Because they were conceived at an inappropriate, inauspicious time, they became big demons. The affairs of this material nature is controlled by a divine arrangement. That divine arrangement is that there are controllers who are taking care of different affairs of this material nature. And their effects are considered to be the effects of the stars and planets. There are different stars, there are different planets, and they have their influence. Sometimes the influences are auspicious, sometimes the influences are inauspicious. It is not that all the stars and planets, some stars or planets are inauspicious or so forth, but it is the position of the stars and planets that determine auspicious and inauspiciousness. So, ওদের কীর্তন বন্ধ করলে কেন ত্রিবিক্রম কীর্তন বন্ধ করলে কেন হ্যাঁ করছে কোথায় করছে কে করছে অমল ভক্ত একা করছে ও আচ্ছা ওকে নাকি আমরা সবাই কীর্তন করব So the stars and planets in this way have their influence. And different times of the days are also, sometimes are auspicious, sometimes are inauspicious. Like Brahma Muhurta is a very auspicious time. That means 1.5 hours before sunrise is a very auspicious time. And now, similarly, the sandhas, that means the conjunctions of different phases of the day, are also auspicious. Like the sunrise, the time of sunrise, the time of noon time when the sun is in the middle of the sky, and the evening when the sun is setting. These are the auspicious times. And now another thing is that inauspicious activity shouldn't be performed at an auspicious time. That way brings misfortune. Like, actually sandhya is a good time, evening time. And that time everything becomes auspicious. But Diti provoked her husband into an inauspicious activity. So that is what caused the problem. Anyway, the point is two very, very powerful demons were born. Two very powerful demons were conceived, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Now their evil influence was so prominent that even when they were in the womb of their mother, their presence created everything to become dark. That means the influence of sun was impeded. The sun's influence was affected. Generally, the lights are casted by the sun. In the universe, the material nature is in darkness. Universe is in darkness, normally. But the sun comes up and it causes the light. Especially the upper regions of the planetary system. There are 14 planets, 7 are upper planets and 7 are lower planets. The 7 upper planets are lit up by the sun. The lower planetary systems do not get the rays of the sun. They remain in darkness all the time. Nether worlds. There it is lit up by the arrangement of the serpents. The jewels on their heads cause the light. And just like sometimes we see, like some places at night light up as if it's daytime. So in the lower planetary system, the arrangement is something like that. Just as we light up with electric light, there, the area, that region, is lit up by the jewels on the heads of the serpents. So we can see they are not small, tiny jewels. They must be big, big jewels, like 1,000 volt, 2,000 volt, 10,000 volt light bulbs. It's possible. Electricity is causing the light. But there, poison causes the light. We see the similarity. Electricity, what is electricity? Electricity is fire. Poison is also fire. That's why poison burns. When one drinks poison, his whole body burns to death. It's subtle fire. It's not gross fire. In a way, electricity also is subtle fire. You don't see the heat and the flame. But you touch an electric cable, what will happen? You'll get electrocuted. What is the meaning of electrocuted? Electrocuted means fire. Subtle fire, it burns you. So similarly, the lower planetary systems, the serpents cause the light. And where does serpents have lights? They have jewels. And then we also can see the serpents have poison. So the poison of the serpents actually caused the jewels to become luminous. Now Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha's conception, just there, because they were conceived by their mother, it caused such an inauspiciousness that all directions became dark. That means their evil influence caused the effect of the sun to subside. Sun couldn't light up. Such evil was their influence. And when it is dark, you cannot do anything. Can you work when it is dark? So the demigods, who are the controllers of different affairs of the material nature, they couldn't work. They have a lot of responsibility given to them, assigned to them by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And now they couldn't actually execute those responsibilities. So they approached Lord Brahma with an appeal. This is the situation, what should we do? And in this way the demigods were expressing their inability. They couldn't, they sincerely approached Lord Brahma to rectify that situation. Maybe I'll just read through the next few verses. And next verse at least, but then it goes to Maitreya. Esha deva diter garbha ojo kashyapam arpitam dishastimirayan sarva vardhate agnir ibaidhashi. As fuel overloads a fire, so the embryo created by the semen of Kashyap in the womb of Diti has caused complete darkness throughout the universe. So the reason for the darkness is now being described by the demigods. If you put too much ghee in fire, the fire becomes extinguished. Similarly, the conception of in the womb of Kashyapa, and the semen of Kashyapa, the embryo created by the semen of Kashyapa in the womb of Diti has created complete darkness throughout the universe. So, Prabhupada, in the purport also, a very short purport, the darkness throughout the universe is explained herewith as being caused by the embryo created in the womb of Diti by the semen of Kashyapa. So from this we can understand one thing, that a good soul creates light and bad soul creates darkness. Ultimate consideration of light and darkness, the ultimate consideration of light and darkness is knowledge, auspiciousness, good fortune. These are all light. Ultimately it is the light of, it's the knowledge that is the real light. And good fortune also brings light. When the heart becomes jubilant, that is the light. And inauspiciousness brings darkness. Sometimes darkness is necessary. At night it is necessary. But that is because of the duality of the material nature. In the spiritual nature, there is no such duality. There is no darkness. It's always light. There everything is always auspicious. There is no inauspiciousness there. There is no ignorance there. Everyone there is situated in perfect knowledge. And that knowledge is known as Brahmajnana, the not spiritual knowledge, transcendental knowledge. So that is the spiritual knowledge. And material nature, the more one gets into material nature, it becomes more and more dark. The higher planetary systems has longer duration of light. And lower we go, as I mentioned, in the lower planetary system there is no light. So more materialistic one becomes, more one plunges into the darkness of ignorance. One should actually therefore try to enlighten himself, enlighten, light up himself. how to light up oneself. We light up ourselves with the light of knowledge. Inauspicious activities and auspicious activities. What are the ultimate considerations of inauspicious and auspicious? The activities that take us close to Krishna is auspicious. The activities that take us away from Krishna is inauspicious. Now today's world is in a very inauspicious situation. And when it is inauspicious, what is the result of inauspiciousness? Suffering. What is the outcome of auspiciousness? Enjoyment, joy, ananda, bliss. That's why the Vedic scriptures are giving us the injunctions, giving us the direction to act in a pious way and never to act in an impious way. Act in an appropriate way and never to act in an inappropriate way. Because who wants to suffer? Who wants to suffer? Nobody wants to suffer. Everybody wants to enjoy. But when one is in ignorance, he tries to enjoy in a wrong way. For example, Ravan thought that he will enjoy by stealing Sita. And he thought that he is so powerful, what will this mendicant in the forest do? He saw Ramchandra just as a human being who has nothing, roaming in the forest. And he thought he is so powerful, what will this man do? So that is how a miscreant thinks. A miscreant tries to judge things from a material point of view. Yes, from the material point of view, Ramchandra was totally incapable, weak. He didn't have any support, whereas Ravana was thinking, I'm so powerful. Even when Lanka was destroyed, just by one person, Hanuman, still he was thinking. Although he saw that all his army, all his soldiers, all his resources could not stop Hanuman. Just one person, one single monkey, destroyed the whole of Lanka. It has been described that the degree of devastation of Lanka. In Lanka, the buildings were actually built with gold and silver. They were not bricks of clay bricks, they were gold bricks. Therefore it's called Swarna Lanka. It was made of gold. And Hanuman, when he burnt Lanka, in the intense heat, the gold and silver melted. And there was a flow, they were flowing like a river. Gold was flowing like a river. And when Ramchandra asked Hanuman about the situation of Lanka, how many gates are there, how is the wall, and what is the security area, Hanuman actually told Ramchandra that all this molten gold and silver filled up the turret, the moats. There was a huge moat all around the city. Now all the moats have been filled up. The moats were actually difficult to cross. They were so wide. Of course, for Hanuman and the monkeys, there was nothing. They could jump across the ocean. So for them to cross the moat was not at all difficult. But these moats were filled with crocodiles and other dangerous aquatics. Now you can see the degree of devastation that was caused by Hanuman. So the whole Lanka actually burnt. All the gold and silver that built the palaces melted. And so much so that all the water body all around became filled up with the solid gold. Molten gold went into the river and the silk moats, and they got filled up. That's what Vibhishan actually warned Ravan. You are, don't underestimate Ram's capacity. You are thinking they are just monkeys, but you have seen the prowess of one monkey. You are thinking yourself to be so powerful, and see what one monkey has done. Just one monkey killed five of your generals along with their soldiers, killed seven sons of your minister, killed your own son, Aksha, with his army. Just one monkey. Now he has millions of such monkeys with him. And besides that, he himself is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, for him, nothing is impossible. For him, everything is possible. He can do anything. So, this is how an intelligent person will always remain submissive to the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, whether he appears to be like a prince in exile, whether he appears to be a sannyasi, whether he appears to be a cowherd boy, he is always the Supreme Personality of God. The Supreme Proprietor, the Supreme Controller, the Supreme Enjoyer. And our business is to provide for his enjoyment. He is the Supreme Proprietor. And we are his servants. He is the Supreme Enjoyer, therefore we must cater to his enjoyment. When you accept that role, then our life becomes auspicious. That is the ultimate auspiciousness, to surrender to the Supreme Personality of God. And when one surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his life becomes full of happiness. His life becomes full of auspiciousness. But when somebody doesn't surrender, then no matter how powerful he may appear to be, will be destroyed. Like the way Ravana was destroyed. Like the way Duryodhana was destroyed. Apparently they were very powerful. Duryodhana also conquered the whole earth planet. All the kings were subordinate to him. And Pandavas were in the forest. No resources. Similarly with Ramchandra, he is fighting with some monkeys. His soldier is some monkeys. But who are these monkeys? These monkeys are actually different demigods. They were more powerful than the demigods, because the demigods were ineffective in case of Ravan. Ravan has the blessing that no demigod, no Gandharva, no Kinnara, no Pishacha, no Naga will be able to defeat him. But carelessly disregarding the possibility, Ravan, they forgot to mention about a human being and the monkeys. So that is the loophole that Ravan left. And the Lord appeared as Ramchandra, a human being. And the demigods appeared as the monkeys. And Ravan was destroyed. Similarly, Hiranyakashipu, he sought protection from everything, that he wouldn't be killed. No man, no animal, and so forth. But the Lord appeared as half man, half lion. Not a man, not an animal. He won't be killed by a man or killed by an animal. Okay, he appeared as Nrisimhadeva. So in this way we can say, no matter how powerful we may be, we cannot outsmart the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is smarter than anybody, he is more capable than anybody. So when there is a personality like him, why shouldn't we surrender to him? And especially when that personality is our ever well-wisher. He always wants us well. He is a person who wants us well, he is taking care of us, he is always doing everything for our benefit. He is always providing for whatever we need. So why shouldn't we surrender to such a person when that person himself is repeatedly asking us to surrender to him? So that is the intelligent thing to do. Surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the ultimate intelligence. Surrender to him. Then, as I said, like there will be all auspicious, all good fortune, all victory. A person who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will never be defeated. They may not be aware of their prowess. Like again with Hanuman. Hanuman never thought that he was so powerful. Hanuman was saying that I am no, compared to other monkeys I am nothing. All the other monkeys, they are much more powerful than I am. Sugriva is my king. Angad is the prince. Nila is the general. So this was the monkey structure. And so Hanuman was, he never thought that he was very big. He simply maintained a very humble attitude. But yes, when it came to serving Lord Ramchandra, he was like a blazing fire. But otherwise he always maintained a very humble attitude. So that is a devotee. He never thinks that he is important. He never thinks that he is capable. But the more he feels that way, the more the Lord provides him with the ability. And that is the meaning of the word empowerment. He is empowered. The devotees are always empowered by the Supreme Personality of God. That's why mukam karoti bachalam. A dumb man speaks so eloquently. He is dumb, he thinks, he cannot speak. But by the mercy of the Lord, he speaks so eloquently. And pongung langhayati girim. A lame man can cross the mountain. So that is the mercy of the Supreme Personality. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question?
Does the position of stars and planets affect the devotee also? Auspiciousness and inauspiciousness?
It depends how surrendered he is. If one is 100% surrendered, then no effect of the star. That means more he is, as he depends upon Krishna to that effect, to that extent he becomes immune to the effects of stars and planets. Any question? What happened?
There is a trend in Vedic culture and even Western culture to pray to the creator of the universe. Is Lord Brahma also a proxy for Vishnu?
Yeah. Very good question. Actually, Vedic culture follows the authority structure very strictly. Like demigod's immediate authority is Lord Brahma. Therefore they are approaching him. Sometimes they approach when Brahma cannot do something, then they approach the Supreme Personality of God. Like in case of Kamsa also, we see the demigods approached Lord Brahma and appealed to them. Then the Brahma took them to Vishnu. So that's the line of authority. So don't transgress. Vedic culture says not to transgress the line of authority. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki, Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki, Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki. But in case of Bali Maharaj, even Brahma couldn't do anything. So the demigods approached Narayan, Vishnu. Yes, Narayan,
Krishna. If Sivendra and Anandam passes at a different times, Krishna will require different surrender.
Is surrender an ongoing process? Yeah. The more we surrender, the more we want to surrender. That is the mystery behind this process. It is not that we surrender, then we come to a situation when we feel that now my surrender has become perfect. Rather, the more we surrender, the more we feel how much more is to surrender. And this we can consider that why it is like that. Is because Krishna is absolute and we are minute. The more we go towards Krishna and more we become aware of Krishna's absoluteness, the more we become aware of our minuteness. So that's why the closer we go to Krishna, the more we'll become aware of our minuteness and would feel the need to surrender. And consider when we don't surrender, when you are furthest away from Krishna, then you don't surrender. So the closer you go to Krishna, the more will be the degree of surrender. Okay, thank you very much.